Hey everyone, we're so excited to tell you about our new membership.
We're creating exclusive After Dark episodes, monthly live Q&A and discussion calls,
and even some exclusive merch.
See all the benefits and tiers at patreon.com/glampolyam.
Someone who is monogamous and cheats on someone, that's different. Everyone in a polyamorous relationship has full knowledge and consent.
This is not a great one. I would say that we've busted this myth.
Did we?
This is Glamorous and Polyamorous,
a show about exploring polyamory and other forms of non-monogamy after religion.
I'm Kelly Smith.
And I'm Zavi Benjamin.
I'm kind of excited about this episode because we are going to be playing Mythbusters today. There are some common myths in polyamory, and we just had to address them today. We just had to. So
right.
We're going to do them.
We just have five.
Yeah. We have five. If you have any more that you would like to suggest to us, please send us those. We love to receive them. But okay, let's get right into it. What's the first one?
The first one is that people are only polyamorous because they want to use it as an excuse to cheat.
Yeah. I feel like I've heard this from a lot of different people.
Right. And I've seen it as a situation where, okay, what if somebody has cheated on their partner in the past, then they all of a sudden realize this term or understand this term polyamory and go back and think, oh, maybe I'm polyamorous. And that's different than somebody who is like, oh, they discovered this term and now are trying to use it as an excuse for their cheating, if that makes sense.
Oh.
And they're like, oh, I was just I'm just polyamorous, and that was an excuse.
Right.
But there's a big difference, because if the person has like this secret agenda in the back of their mind that they are cheating on their spouse, that's not the same thing as polyamory.
Right.
And it's okay to discover later on that you are polyamorous. That might be the case, but don't use it as an excuse to cover over your cheating.
Right. Yeah. And I think I've seen this a lot, especially with men, that they'll be in a kind of monogamous relationship.
Uh-huh.
They're not really in an open relationship or a non-monogamous relationship, but they'll tell other people that they're polyamorous.
When they're not really.
When they're not actually available for that.
Yeah.
And so I think that this myth, to me, is fed both by bad actors, shall we say, within, you know, the people that use polyamory as like a term for their unethical practices.
Uh-huh.
But then I think that this myth is also fed by, again, people who are on the more conservative side, who just, that's what they believe.
Right.
That people who are polyamorous just are looking to cheat, just are, you know.
Yeah. And that just comes from the monogamous perspective of it.
Right.
And that's something that I don't think I will ever understand, is why are monogamous people so threatened by polyamory? It's like, we want to do it consensually.
Yeah.
And it's not like we're looking for an excuse to cheat on somebody. But someone who is monogamous and cheats on someone, that's different. Everyone in a polyamorous relationship has full knowledge and consent to be polyamorous.
Right. Yeah. And so, again, I think that this is not a great one. I would say that we've busted this myth.
Did we?
No. Yeah. I think that's what honestly busts the myth for me.
Right.
Is the fact that, no, we can say polyamorous people want to have open, honest, communicative, and consensual relationships with multiple people. And so by definition, that's not cheating.
And there's a healthy way to go about doing that. It's not to cheat on somebody and then come backwards and say, oh, I'm polyamorous. You talk about it beforehand. And that's a healthy way to do it. Say, look, I might be feeling like I'm polyamorous. Let's talk about this. Let's discuss this. So that you don't go down that road.
Next myth is polyamory is all about sex. What do you think about this one?
I feel like that is just something that monogamous people say again. They think that, oh, it's just they just want to have sex, or it's all about sex. But I know many people who identify as asexual or gray sexual, and they are still polyamorous, which an asexual person means that they are a person who do not experience sexual attraction to somebody, I would say, and they don't have those sexual desires. But a gray sexual person, they can sometimes have that sexual attraction to somebody, and they don't always act on it, but they sometimes have that feeling. Or somebody could even be demisexual and be polyamorous, which means, which I know a lot of people who are demisexual.
That, I mean, I say I'm demisexual.
I would say that I'm demisexual too, which just means that they want to have an emotional connection with someone before they feel that sexual connection with them.
Yeah.
And so sex is completely taken out of the equation for some people, but they're still polyamorous. I feel like it's just about having a genuine connection with somebody, and it doesn't necessarily involve sex.
Here's what I have to say about this. Like, that polyamory is all about sex. I say, like, so what? So what? Like, so what if I want to have sex with people? So what if I want to have multiple sexual connections with people consensually? Oh, no.
Yeah.
What a horrible thing. You know, I think that that's kind of like my discomfort with this myth from the beginning, is just this idea that something being about, all about sex is somehow wrong then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think polyamory isn't all about sex, but if it is a large portion of why you are polyamorous, no one should be able to judge you for that. And so I feel like polyamory isn't about sex. And like you've already outlined, there are a lot of different places in which, yeah, sex doesn't even play a part of some polyamorous relationships.
Right.
But I think even if it is, leave people alone.
Yeah, that's coming from a sex negative standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
let me do whatever the fuck I want to do. How does it affect you?
I think a lot of people from that aspect come from a religious background.
Right. And that's what I was going to say too, is like you were saying earlier that it might be, this one might be fed by monogamous people. And I don't think that's true. I think this one is more fed by people who come from that purity culture,
right,
kind of standpoint of like, oh yeah, if you are doing something because of the sex, what kind of person are you, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that, again, I empathize with that viewpoint because I feel like that's how I viewed myself when I was a Jehovah's Witness. But I just, yeah, I feel like this myth is busted.
I like how you do that. This myth is busted. Busted that one.
Yeah, get it out of here. All right. What's the next one?
The next one is that people think that polyamory is just a bunch of threesomes and group sex, kind of going along the lines of everyone thinks that it's all about sex. But again, you could say the same things, that no, it's about bonding with somebody. It's about experiencing a genuine connection with someone and not necessarily just like, oh, you want to have a threesome.
Yeah, I think this one is also an error of the way that the media portrays polyamory as well.
That's true.
Because all of our representation oftentimes in popular media is triads.
Yeah.
But I think when you actually are in the polyamorous community, you notice that like triads aren't actually the most common.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, triads aren't the most common. Like there are much more Vs. There are much more like just dyads as well. People having, you know, multiple partners, but those partners not interacting with each other necessarily in a sexual way. And so there are a lot of different combinations of polyamorous relationships that wouldn't involve any group sex. I mean, there are plenty of polyamorous people that I know that want nothing to do with group sex ever.
Right.
You know, and I feel like that's totally okay. Mm-hmm. Valid.
Yeah.
That doesn't make you any less polyamorous. And again, so yeah, it's not just a bunch of threesomes and group sex.
Right. And I know people too, I would say, that are in a couple that want to add a third, let's say. And there's nothing
wrong with that. Unicorn hunters.
Yeah, then there's nothing wrong with that. Go ahead, spice up your sex life if you want to. Go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily always consider everything to be that way or consider it a polyamorous relationship, but maybe for them it is. Sometimes I feel like that's more a couple dynamic looking for a third and not really everyone all being equally in that relationship. But sometimes it is. Sometimes it does mean that everyone in that dynamic in a triad are equally in the relationship. It just depends on the dynamics that they have established.
Yeah. We'd love to hear from you, actually. If you want us to do a full episode about unicorn hunting, definitely let us know, because I think that that's a topic that merits more kind of diving into. But that being said, I think, again, we have busted this myth of the fact that polyamory is not a bunch of threesomes or group sex. The next one is a serious one.
Okay. What's the next one?
Very serious. Polyamorous people spread STIs.
Ooh, yeah.
That's a very common myth. That's a comment that we've received on our videos before.
And that's so far from the truth, I feel like.
Oh, yes.
But I mean, I understand that people are concerned about that and want to use protection. But that's why in polyamory, you are even more conscious of what your status is. You get tested regularly.
I thought that this one was one of the more serious ones, I feel like, on this list. And so I did some research to back this up. And I will put links in our show notes to this article, as well as the Journal of Sexual Medicine. The Chicago Tribune has this article specifically talking about non-monogamous people, and it cites this Journal of Sexual Medicine, which found that non-monogamous people have fewer STIs and infected fewer partners because of what you just mentioned, of the fact that non-monogamous people are more likely to get tested more often and more likely to use barriers with newer partners. So, again, this is one of those things that I think an ignorant person, honestly, would think this. If you think this, you're probably, like, stupid.
and I feel like...
And I won't... I don't have any, like... qualms of saying that, because definitely it's something to research, because polyamorous people do not spread STIs. And again, there's research to back that up. So that's cool.
Yeah. And that's something that I choose myself to get myself tested regularly and disclose what my test results are to people before I go into a sexual relationship with them.
Yeah. And I think at some point we should probably do like a whole episode again on sexual health and how you and I approach sexual health and what our opinions are. On a baseline level, I think it's really, really important to talk about sexual health with potential partners. And I think, again, this myth is powered by ignorance. It's powered by, I think, religion and the lack of sexual education.
Yes.
Because, first of all, most STIs are treatable. And, you know, that I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. I think ultimately this myth is busted because, as we've seen, there is research that backs up the fact that non-monogamous people don't spread STIs. And again, that they have fewer STIs and that they have infected fewer partners. Even if that wasn't the case, this scaredness of STIs is, again, because of the lack of sexual education, the prevalent religious twist to sexual education, and how you get unclean, you know, or dirty by having sex with people. And so, yeah, but this myth is busted.
And they're more likely to disclose their status to their partners.
Right,
they know their status and they're going to disclose that.
Right.
Yeah. And another myth that people have is that polyamory is unnatural And I think a lot of that goes back to people point to jealousy as the reason for that. They feel like, oh, that's not natural. But I think jealousy is the stem of why they think it's not natural.
Yeah.
But I disagree that it's not natural, because I feel like I see it in like everyday media and TV shows. I know we watched The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And it's like at the end, they have to choose one person. But right. It's obvious that they are in love with more than one person, especially when it gets down to the end.
Yeah.
So like, to me, that proves that polyamory is natural, because it's like you're dating two people. You're forced to date two people in this show, more than one person in this show.
Yeah.
But yet, so you're going to form feelings for them. It's natural to form feelings for someone that you're spending time with, that you're dating, and you're doing it simultaneously. So it's obviously going to happen. So I would disagree that it's not natural.
Yeah. I did some research for this one, and I really enjoyed this article that I found on Real Talk Philosophy. And the quote that really stood out to me said that just because something is natural doesn't make it right. And it cited violence, it cited murder, it cited rape. You know, these are natural things, but it's like that doesn't make them morally right. And right. So what does something being natural or unnatural have to do with whether humans should or should not do it?
Right.
And I thought that was actually a very compelling argument, because It also cited the fact that, you know, people have used this argument of, oh, it's unnatural, to then discriminate against people who are gay, people who are of a different race and color and ethnicity. Oh, that's not natural. Right. And so it's kind of a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that article, because it kind of made me feel like this myth is busted, because something being natural or unnatural actually doesn't matter.
Yeah. And just because you were raised a certain way doesn't mean that that was natural or normal. Or acceptable. Just because you grew up in maybe your parents were monogamous or in together, does it mean that that is what everyone has to do or has to follow? There are different structures to a relationship. It's just an alternative style of relationship. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Just because you didn't grow up like that doesn't mean that it's not natural.
Yeah. So our bonus myth is only ugly and fat people are polyamorous. And again, this is one that we've received as a comment.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have received that as a comment. And we obviously know of many people that are polyamorous, because we're in the polyamorous community. And it's people of all different styles, of different backgrounds, and all different sizes and shapes and sizes. And so I would never say that it's just someone that is fat and ugly that is polyamorous, because I know people that are gorgeous and polyamorous as well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I feel like if this is how you feel, that only ugly and fat people are polyamorous, like, you're probably a sad fuck, and I feel sorry for you. You know, ultimately, something like this says more about the person that feels it than external, you know, at all.
To call someone fat and ugly and that's the only reason that they're polyamorous is just wrong.
The myth I've heard is that, oh, all the polyamorous people that I've seen are fat and ugly.
Yeah. Which...
And so, again, I feel like, oh, like, you're probably a sad person, you know?
If you say that.
If you feel that way. Yeah,
I know. And it's like, and then how are they getting all these people if they're just fat and ugly?
Right.
I don't know if that's mean to say.
Yeah. But I think also, like, it's anecdotally, it's just not true. I mean,
right,
yeah. I think... Also, ugliness is a very subjective thing.
Exactly. That's right? What I was thinking too.
Everybody has different views of what they find attractive, what they don't find attractive.
Yeah. You know?
And I, at least personally, I feel that ugliness is actually revealed from the soul, is actually revealed from your heart.
Yes.
And who you are as a person.
Yeah. And I know I've known plenty of people who were gorgeous, but then they've said something that was so ugly that I couldn't look at them anymore. And they were ugly to me, even though aesthetically they might look gorgeous to somebody else, to me that they were ugly. And so to say that is just a dehumanizing thing to say to somebody. Oh, you're only polyamorous because you're fat and ugly. Like,
yeah,
what? And especially, like, I agree with what you said. Like, ugliness is so subjective. One person might think someone is attractive. Another person might think that they're beautiful.
Yeah.
It's all according to the person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like every person that has ever called me fat thinks they're so original. Like, they're the first person to say, oh, you're so fat. And yeah. It's like, you don't think I've heard that
right.
so many different times? And you think it's going to hurt me this time? No. Like, that's the thing is, I think also, that's the other part is, I don't care what people comment on my body anymore. Yeah. That does not influence the way that I view my body or how I view myself at all.
Yeah. And there are so many quality people in the polyamorous community that I feel like it doesn't matter what they look like. They're quality people from the inside out. And that makes them attractive.
But again, I feel like attractiveness is subjective.
Subjective. Yeah. You know? Exactly.
What you think is cute, I might not think is cute. I mean, you don't think Emma Thompson is cute.
I know.
Like.
I know. And a lot of people
how think. How can I even trust
your
taste?
I mean, do
taste?
You think that Harry Potter is cute or the redhead?
Yeah,
I don't
I would
know
smash.
Their names. You would smash.
I would smash all three of them, yeah.
It's.
Ron, right?
Yeah. I mean,
Ron,
they're cute.
Harry,
they're in,
Hermione,
like, their own little,
all three of them.
They're in their own little polycule.
I don't know how we started talking about Harry Potter.
I don't know.
All right.
Sorry.
Let's keep going.
What would you say are your key takeaways?
I think that my key takeaways is that the pattern I notice, at least in these myths, are sex negativity being kind of at their core for most of these. And that I think that that's fascinating. And it is my life mission to continue to, like, fight against sex negativity and continue to promote sex positivity. Because ultimately, I think what people like to do sexually doesn't say anything about their character. I mean, obviously, if they're not hurting others, I think if we could get away from that fundamental idea of sex being bad, then some of these things wouldn't even be an issue.
Right. Yeah. I'd say my key takeaway is, okay, we discussed 6 different myths about polyamory. So educate yourself. And I feel like if you really think that about something, maybe educate yourself more about what it really is and what the stem of it is. Because a lot of times when you look into it, it's not really about that, these myths that you've heard. So I think it's so important, if you are interested in polyamory, to not take what people say about it as, like, some of these myths. Don't take it with a grain of salt and look at the information for yourself. If you are looking into getting into polyamory, maybe. And I also think that relationships have different structures, and those are for you to define and nobody else.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Glamorous and Polyamorous. Again, we would love to hear from you. What did you think of these myths? What myths have you heard about polyamory? We'd love to hear about them in the comments, or you can send us an email at hello@glampolyam. Where can the people find us on the internet, Kel?
They can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, or YouTube, all at glampolyam. Oh, and we even have threads, too.
Yeah. When we post a thread, you know? We would appreciate so much if you left us a rating and review. If you send us a screenshot, either via DM or via email of your review, we'll send you our sticker, Slut for Kind People. It's popping on the town, man. That sticker's popping. But yeah, we would love a rating and review. Please share the show. This is how we grow. This is how we find more people that are getting out of purity culture and looking to find more community in polyamory and in non-monogamy. So
yeah. Thanks for watching. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you know someone that might love our show,
please share it with them, as that's the best way for new people to find the podcast, and it would mean so much to us.
Thank you.